Deer Plugged In. You in on this? Toyota's versatile SUVs roll up their sleeves and take on tough jobs, dress up for a night out, or haul your family and friends with their spacious interiors. And they're available with some real sweet tech. Want a hybrid SUV? Oh yeah, they got those too. All with a slew of standard features so you won't break the bank. Get the juice at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What up, y'all? Welcome back to another edition of the DNVR Draft Podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the app. Use the promo code DNVR when you sign up. I'm Justin Michael. We've got Andre Simone back in the mix. Jake Schwanitz is here as always. Second draft pod of the week. Double the trouble. Looking forward to it. We've got a lot to talk about with the college football playoff rankings, Heisman odds, and obviously some massively important games in terms of how this final season is going to play out. For that, we're going to have a little bit of fun, give some of our top Thanksgiving side dishes slash desserts, the playoff rankings of Thanksgiving sides, if you will. But before we get into all of that, how's everybody doing? Dre, how you doing? You got the shades on. You look like you're in a jazz band.
Yeah, I wish. But, you know, this time of year when you're podcasting about college football on Thanksgiving week, it kind of is like being in a jazz band because things really get crazy now. Things get fun. Things get crazy. We can improvise. We can play that sweet, sweet music before TCU goes on a long solo for us, winning another insane game at the end. I can't believe Brian Kelly has taken LSU where they're at in these rankings. I can't believe how good the Pac-12 has been. Can the two LA teams like rescind their wanting to go to the Big Ten? Can we call an audible on that?
Well, I really wish they could.
They might be blocking this UCLA move. Have you seen this?
Tell me everything.
Yeah, it could happen. Yeah, the Board of Regents has to approve it before UCLA ultimately leaves. That's not the case with USC because they're a private school. But UCLA gets state money. So if the state determines that essentially this move is going to be so catastrophic for the rest of our schools, you know, Cal and everybody else, you can't do it. You have to stick together. Otherwise, you're going to lose all your funding. It could get real complicated, but it's at least on the table.
Yeah, and then USC maybe becomes a little less incentivized to go because it's like, man, if we're the only Cali school, how do we fit in?
The rumor I read is that if the Big Ten can't get UCLA, they're going to try it and go after Oregon. So
that probably is better for them, honestly.
That'd be rough.
That'd be rough.
All right, guys. Well, we got a lot to get into, so let's just get started here. Thanksgiving, an elite holiday. In terms of food, I understand there's a whole political discourse that we're not going to get into on this podcast.
Right.
We like this week because we like college basketball. We like NFL football. We like college football. And we like to stuff our fat faces. So let's talk about it. What are the elite side dishes slash desserts? I didn't put turkey in the mix because then people start talking about like, well, I like this part of turkey and not this. It gets all complicated. Let's just keep it fun. Obviously, we're going to get into the college football playoff rankings after this, so we can kind of do it that way. What would be your one seed for Thanksgiving sides slash desserts?
Green bean casserole. Easy.
Wow.
Elite player.
Green bean casserole. Controversial. A one seed?
Yeah, as a
really?
One seed.
That's controversial?
Make the argument that it deserves to be in the mix, but a one seed, I mean...
It's the best side. What do you mean?
They didn't play anybody, Paul. They're not on conference schedule.
Oh, right. My gosh. Look at the talent on the roster.
It's undefeated TCU. Quentin Johnston is the crispies on top of the casserole, really carrying a heavy load. I guess for the one seed, I would go mashed potatoes. I think that's your Bama. That's your Ohio State. Like, you know, big school, proven track record. Any household might have their own slight variation, but they're all going to be pretty delicious.
Is the gravy included, Dre?
Justin, do we have a ruling on this? I was thinking of it as an even broader, more generic one seed. So I was thinking gravy-less, but obviously for me, you gotta make the little pool that I can then make my gravy puddle in and go from there.
I'm a big gravy guy, so I'll say it's included if you want. But if you're not a gravy person, you can take it or leave it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the holiday spirit. We all need to get along. Mm. I had mashed potatoes as my two seed. Love them. I mean, their brand recognition is there. They never let you down. They're going to show up. You don't have to worry about them getting blown out.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going with pumpkin pie with Cool Whip on it.
Whoa.
Some people don't really like pumpkin pie. Those people are wrong. It's only available this time of year, so it's just, I look forward to it.
Seasonal.
It's perfect as a leftover, like the next day, you know, you're just sitting on the couch watching sports, get some cold pumpkin pie, put a little whipped cream on it. It's elite, and you only get it this time of year, so that's kind of what I was thinking too.
Love that. I'm pretty similar then. My two seed would have been pumpkin pie. My three would have been mashed potatoes and gravy, man.
Oh, wow. That's solid. I was going to go with cream spinach as my two seed. A bit of an upset here.
Ooh.
A bit of a kind of a one-loss Pac-12 champion here, but... you know, like if Lincoln Riley and Caleb Williams and Jordan Addison are doing their thing, that cream in the cream spinach really goes a long way. So, and then I think stuffing isn't getting its due. Stuffing is a three seed for me.
Wow. I also had stuffing as a three seed. Yeah.
There you go.
Well, that's my four. So, I mean, cornbread stuffing, you can't beat it,
man. All right. Love that. And I, of course,
basic.
Would have...
I mean, just get that stovetop stuffing, you know, just something simple.
Easy peasy.
I'm spoiled. My dad is a badass cook, to say the least, and he goes all out on all dishes. Also, wild card. I don't know if you all do this, but collard greens. My dad makes fire collard greens. We have them all the time. Mm. They're going to be at Thanksgiving. I'm excited for them.
I didn't expect that one, Jake, based on how pale you are.
Well, I can't judge a book by its cover.
Yeah, that's right. And I finish out my four seeds pumpkin pie, a little controversial. My grandma made a pumpkin chiffon pie, which I do think is next level. Not everyone knows that. So, you know, we're just going to settle with a classic pumpkin pie as a four seed. I'm happy with it. It's like a... I don't know. It's like a second SEC team, I think.
It's like a two-loss Bama making it in or something like that. You know, if you put them as the four seed, you're like, how'd they end up being the four seed? But you understand why they're there still.
The name recognition is huge. Just huge. Yeah. Right up there with mashed potatoes. So,
and true upset ability over the number one if pumpkin pie's in the four slot.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No one wants to play that four seed pumpkin pie. There's no doubt about that. That's danger for
sure. My four seed is kind of out of left field, but I did want to just pay tribute to my family out in Kansas. I haven't got to have Thanksgiving with my family because of the way the football schedule works in about 5 years, but it's a big deal in the Michael family. They got about 80 people. My grandpa had like 9 brothers and sisters. They had a million kids. So it's a big deal. We have what's called butter balls. It's really just matzo ball soup. That's all it is. Mm-hmm. I didn't find that out till I was an adult, and I thought this was like something. And then I tried it and I was like, oh, I love this. And they're like, you like matzo ball soup? Apparently so. I've never heard of anybody else having it at Thanksgiving, but it was my favorite when I was a kid. So shout out to them and shout out to everybody listening. Hope you guys enjoy the holidays.
Yes. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone. We love you.
All right, let's get into that was fun, but let's get into the college football playoff rankings, which really didn't change a ton. I mean, the top four stayed exactly the same from last week. We did have some significant shuffling just outside the top four, though. And I was very interested that LSU jumps all the way to five, despite having two losses. They go ahead of USC. I mean, USC is 2 points away from being undefeated. But to me, this says the selection committee does not trust that Trojans defense.
And they've said as much. Those are the direct quotes. The defense is the issue.
Did they put that out there?
Yep. That's a direct quote.
That makes sense.
Yep. I think we're looking for a stronger showing by the defense, Corrigan said, as a committee, a more dominant win in those situations to continue to move forward.
I have some stats I'd like to throw out. This is from Cole Kubelik of the SEC Network. He put this out last night after the rankings come out. He said USC football has run 775 plays this season. Trojans are second in the nation with 513 yards per game. They have lost four turnovers the entire season, four, and their plus 20 turnover margin leads the nation.
Wow.
I mean, I get the concerns about the defense, but I've been saying it going back to week one, this team creates turnovers. They take care of the ball. They have probably the best quarterback in the country right now, draft eligible or not. Caleb Williams is incredible.
1A or 1B. I mean, it's him or Stroud probably. I agree. And offense rules the game. Like, as leaky as their defense can be, I think their offense is at another notch that, outside of Ohio State, they're kind of in a tier of their own. But it comes down to quality wins, right, Justin? So, like, the LSU wins over Sippy and Bama carry more weight than this most recent win against UCLA. And then what's USC's other best win?
Play Notre Dame this weekend.
Well, they play Notre Dame. So you'd think that third quality win should go far. And the Utah loss. I mean, they barely lose to Utah, but I don't think the committee cares all that much about that.
Caleb Williams plus 110, CJ Stroud minus 110 in terms of the updated Heisman odds pretty much everywhere. After that, I mean, Blake Corum plus 1500. Max Duggan plus 3,000. Jake and I talked about that a little bit on the last podcast. I'll throw this out to you real quick, Dre, since you weren't there. Let's say Ohio State loses and potentially loses significantly at home. Let's also say that USC falls to Notre Dame. They just can't stop the run. Maybe, turn the ball over, something like that. Is there a path to the Heisman for Max Duggan at plus 3,000? If they run the table and win the Big 12 and that following scenario plays out, I feel like it is possible, but I also just don't know if he's going to have, for lack of a better term, enough like sex appeal to, really land the cover here.
I think so. I think there's a third caveat you need to add, though, is if CJ Stroud and the Buckeyes lose and lose by a point or three touchdowns, I don't think it really matters. Like, CJ Stroud, to me, in this Michigan game, needs to have a Heisman moment. I don't feel like that Heisman moment has really been there yet. The other caveat, though, is does Blake Corum go off on the other side? Because that's a real, like, the Heisman's kind of being played out, but Blake might not even be healthy enough to suit up, right?
No, yeah, we'll he's see. Questionable at this point. I mean, I imagine he'll play. Him and Donovan Edwards are both, they're being kind of coy about their situation in typical Harbaugh style. But I don't know, when you think about Heisman moments, like Max Duggan, I can't say his name apparently, single-handedly, well, I don't want to say single-handedly, but I mean, he's had those peak moments, where he's driven TCU down the field in the final 2 minutes, where he's creating, with his legs. it's interesting to me that it jumps all the way to plus 3,000 for him. I mean, I guess that alone should be telling at this point that Vegas says it's not a possibility, but I don't know. I guess it feels more realistic to me than the odds we're getting.
When we did the show on Monday, though, Justin, it was plus 4,000. I mean, that's a pretty significant jump still. And look, I know it's the Buffs, it's Colorado, but TCU in the first half against Colorado was a completely different team than in the second half when Max Duggan came in and just started running the ball all over. It really opened up their offense. And it's an underrated moment in the season because they did start Chandler Morris to start the year. Sonny Dykes started the wrong quarterback. He's lucky he got hurt. Otherwise, yeah, this wouldn't really be happening.
Yeah, I mean, there is a good case for that. And I mean, if you watch TCU, like they've had to pull some out. You worry maybe Stenson Bennett kind of comes in and cleans up. And what's crazy is Hendon Hooker. Like, in retrospect, I think Hendon Hooker's resume feels better than any of those. But he's now injured. I was talking to you, Jake, at the office yesterday. I feel like Hooker hasn't had a Heisman moment since like October. Heisman moments need to come November on. Like, that's where you capture kind of the imagination and everything. So it's been a weird one. It's been like there are several worthy candidates, but none that really slap you in the face as like, man, he's the guy we'll remember as the Heisman.
Is Jaden Daniels at plus 4,000 worth entertaining if LSU somehow knocks off Georgia in the SEC title game and he goes crazy? I think you would still need Ohio State and all the other stuff we talked about to play out, but is that more realistic to you than Duggan?
If he goes crazy, I think so. But to me, he's not a real... Like, thus far, his resume doesn't make him a candidate. He's been way too up and down.
He's in there by association. Yeah, it's just exactly because LSU has the wins. And there isn't really like that guy this year that's kind of taken over. Like, if Jake Haener would have been healthy, I legitimately think he might have been the Heisman winner this year. But he missed most of the season.
45 touchdowns, yeah.
And they're still going to win the Mountain West, potentially. It's him coming back, what he's been able to do has been impressive. I don't know. It's just been a weird year. Like, there just really hasn't been anybody that ran away with it. And if Ohio State runs the table, they win the Big Ten, I can't say I'd be mad if CJ Stroud won it, but it sure feels boring.
It feels a little lame. It feels a little like NFL MVP more than Heisman. To me, it's Caleb Williams. They take care of business against Notre Dame. I don't even care about the Pac-12 championship. He, to me, if you're up late enough to watch what he's doing, is...
He's the most electrifying player.
That's the fucking Heisman right there. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you want to... I just don't know if he's going to have the eyes on him. I mean, he is going to have... If they beat Notre Dame, at least this game has some juice now with Notre Dame rattling off this win streak. And then the Pac-12 championship game would matter because it's going to impact the playoff ranking. So at least he'll have that. But he's got to ball out. If he balls out these next 2 weeks, I think he's going to win it because he elevates his team in a way that Stroud just doesn't. And I'm not like trying to knock CJ Stroud. It's just Jake and I talked about this the other day. Like, how many times have we watched Bryce Young essentially single-handedly pull a rabbit out of a hat and help Bama win a game? Blake Corum's even had some of those moments where he's been so single-handedly dominant.
Yeah,
it just kind of feels like CJ does the job and they've got a ton of talent around him. And maybe that's unfair to knock it against him. But like you said, you need those moments and he just doesn't have it yet.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of this is Lincoln Riley, but people kind of forget last year, this team, USC, only had 4 wins. They beat Arizona, they beat Colorado, Washington State, and San Jose State. They had Keaton Slovis and Jackson Dart at quarterback. Lincoln Riley's due a lot of respect. He's due a lot of credit in this. But the way that Caleb Williams has come in and just elevated this team, yeah, he's got the receivers and stuff, he's really taken this team to another plane. I mean, where they were last year. And what trajectory this program was on is completely different now.
No doubt.
Well, unfortunately, due to state laws, you can't bet on the Heisman in Colorado. What you can bet on is just about everything else, and you can do it with our friends over at DraftKings Sportsbook. Oh, yeah. Guys, the NBA season is heating up. There's still so many unknown future. There's the whole... I completely biffed this read. There's so much to be found out about the NBA this season. Action is just getting started. That's what I'm trying to say. Hell if yeah. you want to get in on the action, do so with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. What's really cool is new customers can get $5 pregame moneyline bet on any NBA team to win. You're going to get $150 if they do. Just find the best matchup. There are teams in the NBA that are literally trying to lose. Find that one. Find who they're playing. Put $5 on it. Win $150. Get that bankroll up. Check this out, though. Everyone can earn up to 100% boost with DraftKings Stepped Up Same Game Parlay. All you got to do is go to the app, place a Stepped Up Same Game Parlay today, and you can boost multiple bets like which team is going to win, total rebounds, and more. The more legs you add, the bigger the boost, the more the winnings. It's really simple. Download the app now, sign up with the code DNVR, place a $5 pregame moneyline bet on the NBA team to win their game, get $150 in free bets if they do. That code DNVR only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
Also, shout out to our friends over at Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR, where beers are on tap and regular seltzers are being sold in the bar. You guys know we love our Breck brews. I am a huge Mountain Beach sour guy. I will be drinking that beer throughout the fall and winter months, but it is Vanilla Porter Junior season. If you're into Strawberry Sky Juice Drop IPA, check out their beer locator at breckbrew.com and find all of those great brews near you today.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Just real quick before we move on, start talking about some of these games. Is there a way in which Clemson falls into the playoff, or at 8, are we safe from avoiding them? I just don't want to see it.
They need a ton of things to go their way. A ton of things.
Because a win over North Carolina doesn't mean anything at this point after North Carolina fell to Georgia Tech. And yeah,
no, but
I feel pretty good at this point.
Start with South Carolina, who just thumped Tennessee. That might mean a smidge more than we thought. You need Georgia to run the table. You need TCU to lose. You definitely need USC to lose. And then we can start. Then we can start talking. You're probably rooting for Ohio State over Michigan. Buckeyes are going to have a stronger resume. So one loss Michigan that's excluded from the Big Ten championship is going to be easier hypothetically to outbid than a one loss Ohio State who's excluded from the Big Ten championship. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely possible. I think the musts are Georgia running the table and USC losing to Notre Dame or in the Pac-12 championship. And then we can start talking. Still kind of an outside.
So if you're Clemson, you're voting for all your typical college football playoff buddies to win, you know, Georgia, Notre Dame, the teams we've already seen. They want the chalkiest of chalk outcomes.
Ohio State. Yep. Yep. And then you hope that with Georgia at 1, Ohio State at 2, LSU's out the mix now, USC's out the mix now. I don't know. Would they get in over a 2-loss Bama? I don't know.
That's the thing.
And if they're a conference champion, I think they'd have to.
And whoever loses Michigan, Ohio State, I kind of think you need to give them the edge over Clemson.
I would too. I think, and I'm a Bama guy, but I would argue that if you're a Michigan or Ohio State fan, you have a stronger argument than any. At least, you know, you played Penn State. I know Michigan State doesn't mean shit this year, but it's not like some of those SEC wins are that great. Like, how flawed is Ole Miss's defense? You know, Mississippi State, you know, you can move the ball on them. Like, I get the talent is elite, but a lot of those teams are down too. I mean, Florida's been erratic. I think
Tennessee's out now too.
Yeah.
Yep. Tennessee's out.
I feel bad for Tennessee, man. Like, it's essentially just going to go down as like a normal season. They're not going to get in the playoff. They can't win the conference championship. Probably not even going to get a New Year's Six Bowl at this point.
Yep. An Outback Bowl with a backup quarterback, man.
Yeah.
Sucks. That is the typical bowl experience for 85% of college football fans. Though, when your season crumbles in November, you fall just short of what you were hoping for. And you end up playing a meaningless exhibition with like 70% of your original team.
Clemson plus 230 to make the playoffs. USC and Michigan plus 155 for SC, plus 150 for Michigan to make the playoffs. That seems like nice odds.
Just take the Michigan money line this weekend then, because they're plus 275 if you think they're going to make the playoff.
Insane. That's insane. Let's
get into it. We were talking about it on Monday. It's the same line as last year. It's 7.5 Ohio State. It's like the same team archetypes. It's a lot of just running it back.
So let me ask you this.
Last year being in the Big
House. Why should you be confident in Ohio State? I'm sorry.
It's all fine. They've got the advantage on the outside. Wide receiver, obviously. They've got
huge advantage.
Yes.
Yeah.
So better quarterback, better receiving core. As I said on Monday, Michigan's defensive backfield just not up to par as where it's been in some years. The pass rush is there, however. So, I mean, if Stroud gets rolling and he gets these receivers involved to Jackson Smith and Jigba plays, I don't know his status, so sorry if that's bad info, but that's the path for Ohio State to win.
So what is the path to Michigan winning then? Big playability for Ohio State is like at a whole other level. And they've got a great pass rush, which I think on defense, the thing that scares you most about Ohio State for Michigan is like they're going to be able to compete in the trenches. They're going to be able to get after it. And the last thing you want to do is trail to this Buckeyes team, because then they can pin their ears back. And I don't think you trust J.J. McCarthy to drop back 30 times a game. You know, that's the book. And the Michigan book is like ground and pound them to death. Control the clock, control the tempo, ground and pound them, exhaust them. It's my usual Python analogy. You know, slowly but surely, like get them, wear them down. And by the fourth quarter, everything starts to break open and you impose your will. And it's an all-time Harbaugh, old school Michigan win at the shoe. Which is a whole different thing than doing it in the Big House. Like this,
100%.
This would put JH like in a pretty elite stratosphere of Michigan coaches, especially over the last 30 years. I mean, he'd be like at the top of Mount Olympus at this point.
Can they do it?
Yes,
where's your gut?
They definitely can. I've been leaning Michigan all year, but then you get to this week. You look at the big playability. J.J. McCarthy scares you a little bit. You know, I've kind of got cold feet. But it has felt to me like this was, again, Michigan's year. So I want to stick to that. But the outright money line scares the shit out of me. Like, I feel much better taking Michigan, like, plus 3.5 at plus 145. That feels good. Like, I think this will be really close. I also think the under 56.5 feels good. How do you see this?
I like Michigan.
J-Mike?
I like Michigan.
Fuck.
J.J. McCarthy scares me, and I already kind of went into some of that. Like, I agreed. For all the same points, you don't trust him to drop back and pick you apart. I also don't think that the staff is going to ask him to do that. I think so long as they have one of Corum and or Donovan Edwards, you know, they're going to run the hell out of the ball. It's going to be a lot of play action. It's going to be a lot of zone read. It's going to be opportunities where JJ can get in, you know, be on the move and try and move the pocket, try avert some of that pressure. And I think they're just going to keep it simple. I just don't think they're going to ask him to do a ton. Now, if you get down, and then all of a sudden you need him to do more as a passer, that's where this game could kind of get haywire for Michigan, because they're just not built to win that way. But I just think when you look at this offensive line, when you look at Ohio State, yeah, they are solid, you know, in the pass rush. I like those edge guys. They do kind of give up some running yards, though. Like, they are a little bit susceptible up the gut. This Michigan team can just maul you when they're rolling. And when they get going, it's insane. Like, what they did to Penn State, what they've done to some pretty decent defenses, it's not like Georgia or anything like that, but I don't know, man. I think their style of football wins at this time of year. And maybe that's just because inherently I'm a Saban guy. I've been watching Bama for 20 years, and this is how I like to watch teams play. But I am all in on it. And I just am not that in on Stroud.
Yeah.
I'm all my boys, man. Give me the plus 7.5. Give me the
But history line. History says that Ohio State wins this game like by a touchdown or two, unfortunately. I don't know. The gap feels closer between Michigan and Ohio State than it's ever been at any point of our lifetime. And I think Harbaugh deserves a lot of credit. I think him and Kelly both, you know, I think they're easy to meme. I think they're easy targets. And I like to make fun of both of them too, but these are damn good football coaches.
Very good.
Yeah. I was on LSU and Kelly to start the year, man. You got it rolling. I didn't think it'd be this fast, but you got it rolling.
Just think of that Florida State game, man. How crazy. I mean, they'd really be right there if that L wasn't on their resume.
And even Florida State's looking a lot better too. Like that loss doesn't feel as bad as it early on in week one. We're like, oh God, this is where LSU's at. And now it's like, it's unfortunate, but
47 degrees in Columbus. Kind of balmy. Not necessarily the ground and pound weather we'd like.
Yeah, I wish it was going to be like 15 and snowy.
Yeah.
Michigan hasn't won in Columbus since 2000.
Wow. That's a long time,
Jake. Every streak ends at some point.
It does. It does. You're damn right. What are we watching over break? Lots of Thanksgiving and, more importantly, Black Friday action.
Well, the Egg Bowl is going to be a lot of fun. I mean, it's not necessarily a game that has a lot of impact. I have to cover CSU New Mexico Friday afternoon. Rams have not lost to the Lobos in over a decade.
Hopefully
they can end the season on a high note. Could be the end of the Danny Gonzalez era potentially at New Mexico. They've been struggling offensively. We'll kind of have to see. You got Rocky Long on staff. If you could convince him to just take the head coaching gig, I would do that.
I'm liking North Carolina State, North Carolina at 1:30 on Friday. That'll be a fun one. Drake May has been making plays.
Yeah.
Josh Downs. There's some excitement. I like that game on my Friday slate.
Good quarterback matchup, right? And I mean, I like the Egg Bowl that Justin mentioned, the Pirate against Kiffin. You know, I'm not going to pass that up on Thanksgiving Day.
Could be like a 50-50 game. I mean, neither of those defenses can stop anybody.
Oh, over 60.5, hammer away.
Yeah.
I mean, Justin?
I think it might be easy. I might even take an extended over, like over 70 or something and just try and get some crazy odds on it. Like, I don't see a way in which they don't each score 40.
What's our G5 expert say about Tulane at Cincy? Number 19 at number 24. Big one here. They play for a New Year's Six?
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like Cincy at home, this is kind of classic G5 Cinderella story coming to an end. You're going against the established brand, a well-coached defense.
Yeah.
This Cincy team is not what they were last year, but they're still pretty solid. And they just kind of wear you down. Mm-hmm. I kind of like Cincy at Cincinnati to pull it off, but
we could
want to root against Tulane.
We could get this matchup again the weekend after in the conference title game too. As it currently stands, they're both on top of the conference, so someone's got to lose. It all depends on what UCF and Houston do, but we could get this matchup again.
Yeah, and what's crazy is UCF's ranked as well. I'm all in on that Tulane offense. More than anything, I'd probably take the over 47.
I would too.
I think a little too much respect for Cincy's D, and the fact that Thanksgiving weekend, I'm going with some counterintuitive overs. I think that says a lot because this is under season. So we're sharpening up. We see you, Book. We're going the other way. We know what direction you want us to go in. We're going the opposite. Boom. This guy's smart. Ball knower over here. Border War, Oregon State. That one feels awesome.
Yes.
Jake, start us off.
That's one of the games of the weekend.
Of the
Beavers
week.
Beavers outright. Beavers outright. Nick's been injured. He's been playing well to his credit, but he hasn't been able to run the ball last week. He only ran it for one positive attempt, and that was at the very end of the game to clinch the win. This Oregon State team, man, they've got legitimate speed. They've got a push on the offensive line. They've got guys on defense. It's really just about if Gulbranson can actually make some throws and make some plays at quarterback. I think Damian Martinez can run on this team. Oregon State's greatly improved in this rivalry matchup. Oregon's got something to play for. You know the Beavers are going to come and play.
Yeah.
I have lost so much money on bad beats with Oregon State this year. I like this team. Tough. They're physical. They're my type of team. I love Musgrave. I love the run game.
They're one of the best teams against the spread in the country. Them. Yeah.
Yeah, they cover. But yeah, I've had them to pull some upsets that they've blown a bunch of times. I just don't know if I trust the quarterback to make the throws when it's all said and done. And that's where I'm hesitant here.
They're one of my favorite turnarounds of the last 2-3 years. Just like incredible what they've done. Also like huge shout out to what TCU's done. If you want to talk turnarounds, like insane. And Washington.
A hard spot too. Shit. Like moving on from a legend and bringing in, you know, like, that almost never goes well.
Never, never, never. I mean, you know, like they're lucky the starting quarterback gets injured against CU. Like this kind of happened by accident. It's insane. Okay, so we like the Beavers outright. Justin saying, not so fast, my friend.
I mean, I love the +3.
Those are some sneaky Beavers over there. Okay, +3. We went over. Michigan, Ohio State, Auburn, Bama, Iron Bowl.
Give me the Tigers, dude. +22. This Bama team has not been able to cover some spreads. I'm not feeling it.
They haven't been worthy of the big spreads. Yeah. No.
I don't understand it. Every week we're getting a 3-score spread, and it's not even fun because it's like, so what am I? So I bet on the other team to cover against them. Like, I don't want to do that. I hate this spread. This game makes me feel nervous because Bama's in that, like, we don't really have much to play for territory, and Auburn's in that, let's ruin their season, even worse territory. I'd like Alabama to win, but stay away from that spread.
Yeah, that might be a let it play out live bet, the Tide, if things get a little sneaky. LSU A&M, I'm hammering the Aggies at +10. LSU just hasn't earned it. On the road, you're ranked in the top 5. This is exactly the kind of team that falters and is maybe reading its news clippings just a little too much.
Also classic, like, pile on, you know, a program that's pretty good because they've been doing bad. You know, we enjoy seeing Jimbo Fisher and A&M collectively fail, like, as a college football fan base, mm-hmm. just because of the way he came out. So I'm with Dre there. That's at home getting 10, that's a little too much disrespect. This A&M team, for as flawed as they are, it's not like they don't have talent all over the freaking field.
Yeah, 100%.
LSU, man, what's that freshman's name? Perkins on defense? That guy is a freaking beast.
He's insane,
man. Holy cow. I love the analysis, though. I'm with you guys. I'm going to take +10 Aggies.
USC, 5.5-point favorites over Notre Dame at home. Where are you guys at on this one?
+5.5 all the way, right?
Oh, man. I was going to lean USC.
I know, but USC...
I like USC to win, but to cover makes me feel hesitant.
They've just been close game kings, it feels like. Notre Dame's peaking at the right time. House money game, too. Like,
it is less than a touchdown, though. And you get Caleb Williams, Jordan Addison. I mean, they lose Travis Dye. They just plug in all these other guys at running back that run for 100 yards.
Fair.
Notre Dame has covered the spread in 13 of its last 14 November games.
Oh, fuck.
What a stat. Oh, my God. We've convinced.
It's got to end at some point.
All right.
Nope, USC -5.5.
I love the conference.
Go with your guy, man. Caleb Williams is definitely the difference in this game. It's just by how much is he the difference.
Yeah.
I do think you maybe could get a late backdoor cover if you're USC, where they're up, Notre Dame's driving. USC does force turnovers. They force a lot of pick sixes, too. Banking on a pick six to cover is insane. But I'm just saying that the possibility is there, especially because as well as this Notre Dame offense is playing, like, it's not like you really fear them like going 85 yards on you through the air.
Right.
Drew Pine, right? That's who our Notre Dame starting quarterback is. Yeah, give me Caleb Williams. No chance.
Yeah, fair enough. I guess there's that blowout factor. Fun ones, Apple Cup, Washington State, Kansas State. That felt like it would have been a bigger game a couple weeks ago.
I mean, K-State's still trying to play their way into the Big 12 championship game.
I mean, good teams.
They could still play spoilers.
No, good teams for sure. So it's going to be a great weekend. It's one of those all-time weekends, man.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait, man. This is what it's all about.
Okay, so final, it is what it's all about. I'm sorry to cut you off, Justin. Final playoff predictions, and then who do you have the Broncos drafting at 20 in the last pod?
The Northwestern tackle kept falling to us.
Skaransky. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a guard, but
and then we
had,
and then Joey Porter Jr. A couple of times. He's my guy. I just like him.
No, he's great. Can you go cornerback to like again? I don't know.
Feels like a Peyton move.
There's many good defenses this year in the league too. I just feel like should you rank offensive players differently now? Bijan.
Justin, you threw him out. I mean, Bijan was intriguing there. Jackson Smith and Jigba was intriguing in that spot too. It's interesting because I think Damari Mathis's kind of emergence and really just recovering from that four pass interference game has been huge. I would trust him going into next year in the spot that he's in. Is Darby under contract? Do they get him back?
One more year, but they have a pretty juicy out where they'd save some good cap on Darby.
With his injury history, it's kind of a...
Safety could be in the mix too. Hard not to go O-line. I've been watching the Lions this three-game win streak. It's just like, oh, man. Bene Sewell and those boys are moving nice, man. They're just beating up on people. Would be nice to have some of that. Would be real nice.
Dude, the Lions are a quarterback away from being a real... I mean, with the talent they have at the skill positions, the trenches, they need to figure out their defense, obviously. The defense, they don't stop
coming
anybody.
Along. But they're coming along.
Jameson's coming too.
Yep. Jameson's coming. No, there's some fun, like kind of frisky young teams in the NFL right now that we look over to, and it's like, oh man, that seems a lot funner than what we're dealt with. Like the Bears. The Bears feel fun.
Don't get me started.
I would never. final right, four predictions.
Final playoff teams? Yeah.
Justin, start us off.
I am going Georgia, Michigan.
Yeah, we all took Michigan.
TCU.
Uh-huh.
Ohio State. I say both big ten teams get in.
Interesting. I'm not far off. I'd be Georgia, Michigan up to two after the win. TCU goes up to three. And then I'll get USC.
That's mine. Honestly, more so than USC, I worry about TCU screwing that prediction up. They're so like, yeah, they're the
They've
team of destiny.
So
but
many.
Yes.
At some point,
I've lived long enough to see an undefeated Big 12 team, all the hype, and then you get into Thanksgiving week and Oklahoma State gets upset and Baylor gets upset. And I've seen it from TCU before, or Texas Tech. You know, we go way back when with the Pirate. I've seen this movie
before. You just talked me out of it.
I've seen this movie before.
They're going to fall. If not this week in the Big 12 championship.
Yeah.
I'm switching it up then.
I'm changing it.
I'm taking TCU out and I'm going 3-4. I'm going USC, Ohio State 4. Ohio State sneaks in as the 4 seed after falling to Michigan. Yeah. Or Michigan sneaks in as the 4 seed, vice versa.
That's a great playoff.
I just talked myself
into it. That's a fun playoff.
Oh, it's an all blue bloods, but it's less SEC heavy than where we usually are. Yep. Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, USC, that is fun. That's really fun. Who would Who would TCU play in the Big 12 championship?
Well, they're probably going to play Kansas State. Assuming Kansas State beats KU this weekend. And Kansas State was up over TCU before Martinez went down. They were up 10 points.
Yeah.
Jaden Daniels back for Kansas, though.
Texas might scare me more because if Kansas
State was my preseason Big 12 champion pick,
Justin Malone.
I'm just hoping I get lucky on that one. Not even lucky. I believed in their defense and I believed in their run game, and that's what carried them. But maybe it plays out.
Yeah, like if K-State loses and Texas wins, I think it's Texas and Texas.
I think it is. That's a scarier matchup if you're a TCU fan.
In a rematch, that's a scary one. Shit. Damn it, Horned Frogs.
I mean, they kicked their ass. Like, I know that was a 17-point game, but that was like a 30-point game how it felt when TCU whooped up on Texas.
But that's even scarier, right?
Rematch. Yes, it makes you feel even worse.
You overlook them. Yeah. Wow. It's all right here. Crazy.
Yeah. With those scenarios we talked about, do you think the world could handle a potential Michigan-Ohio State national championship? That would be ridiculous.
Might cause a civil war.
All of a sudden, you make a case for the playoffs. Like, the playoffs have really offered us nothing different from the previous formats. That would be the kind of matchup that it's like, oh shit, I guess the playoffs are kind of worth it, because you potentially get like Ohio State Michigan national championships. I guess we've had like LSU Bama natties basically, so like it's not that crazy.
Alabama Georgia, but it's not Michigan, Ohio State. Yankees, Red Sox World Series, if that were possible.
Broncos, Raiders, Super Bowl. Insane, man. It's insane. Get ready for the chaos. This is where it all begins. Get ready for the chaos. This is why we love this shit. I'm glad you guys got to talk draft more in the last episode so we could get more college football heavy, because it's that time of year. Cannot wait. Friday's going to be an all-timer at the bar. Justin's going to be covering the Rams. We'll have U.S. men's national team, Avs, Nuggets. It's all going down, man. It's just incredible.
It is going down. Shout out to all you. Follow all our content. Become a diehard today. Get all kinds of sweet benefits, discounts, opportunities. You name it. It is a sick opportunity. Also, check out all of our content, because if you're not a member, if you're not a diehard yet, there's going to be some stuff you can check out. We have way more free content.
Yes.
Really looking forward to it.
Yes.
College basketball season is obviously heating up. Yeah. Rams and Buffs. Kind of bit high variance at the moment. They're young teams, but that also makes for really intriguing outcomes when you just don't know what's going to happen any given night. For my guys on the draft pod, shout out to all of you. Happy Thanksgiving, y'all.